You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
Well, howdy, everyone.
Jordan, play of the day at Saints camp practice number 12, by the way. Maddie Hudak, play of the day. You know what she did? Avoided lightning, apparently, per her text just now. It's not funny. It's not. She literally just texted. She avoided lightning. So, out there for you, making sure you get the latest Saints.
Which makes no sense because, Gus, please turn around right now. And what do you?
Oh, no. Right behind the building.
Exactly.
It's
but
dark.
If you turn around, you would think it's. Yeah. Beautiful day.
Facing north, yes. Blue sky, sunshine. Facing south, a little different story.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me. Let's get stupid.
Today's more that camera Wednesday hump day. Is that what it is?
It is. Sports Hangover. Our number one off and running, Gus Kattengill, Jordan Kleber. Maddie will join us, probably sopping wet based off of the photos from Mike Haas, new voice of your New Orleans Saints. At Mike Haas Communications, Jordan, what does he have?
Yeah, last period of practice was moved to inside.
Words of wisdom.
And to all the ladies, peace and humpiness forever.
Continue.
Yeah, the field is, do they have any drainage?
That is standing water. Well, no, it's called a lot of rain falling at one quick second. They have exceptional drainage actually there.
They actually really do.
No, they really do. But you see it's puddling, and where is it puddling, Jordan? Off past the sideline.
Kind of where the media stands.
But my point is, it's draining where it's supposed to. What if the graph has been struck by lightning? We'll talk to him.
That's just perfect. That's just Louisiana in a nutshell. Blue sky.
Blue sky.
And then
north.
Torrential downpour.
And torrential downpour, exactly. Hey, how about that Wednesday today, baby? Pelicans back in action, taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder. 6 p.m. NBA TV. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I'm pumped, too. Are we going with TM3? If he keeps hitting threes, Trey Murphy the third, it's got to be TM3.
It's TM3.
I think we're going with TM3. Trey Murph, I mean, whatever it is you want to call him. All I know is it makes me excited and I like it, right? Bottom line, it's a little hoops tonight. You know, something else is tonight, too. I don't know if you've been paying attention to this, Jordan. The movie's a little bit before your time. Have you ever seen the movie Field of Dreams?
I believe so, yes.
You believe
I think
so.
I have.
You would know if you have or not.
I think I might have watched it on a retreat when I was at St. Paul's.
Uh-huh. Do you know what I'm talking about, though?
Yes.
The movie.
When they play out in a cornfield?
Yes, they play out in a cornfield.
Well, yeah. Well, that game's tonight, huh?
That game is tonight, yes. The Chicago White Sox, they've been posting videos of it. And it's going to be tonight. It's the Sox, actually this afternoon. So, yeah, it's, oh, is it tomorrow? I guess it's tomorrow that they're showing it. But anyway, yeah, looking forward to that.
So wait, are there any like stands in the outfield?
No, there's grandstands like around third and first base.
I would not want to be like center field, like any of the outfielders. Because if you just hear the, you hear the chainsaw start ripping in the background and you're just out in the outfield. You know, it's like a cornfield.
Mm-hmm. It is a cornfield.
That would freak me out.
Yeah. Why would it freak you out?
You know, just cornfields. Cornfields are pretty freaky, huh?
I guess so.
In every horror film.
Anyway, we'll look forward to.
That was random.
I guess it would be freaky. Yes, if that's the case. Jordan. Anyway, I didn't know cornfields scared you. I didn't know.
During Halloween, there's actual things called corn maze, like a corn maze, huh?
Yeah, there is. I know. the fear in your face all of a sudden just, it was pretty.
Anyway, let's just get back to it. Just for all the stupidity I just said.
How about that? A couple of questions of the day. How about we throw this one out there since it is about the Pelicans? What do you want to see? What do you want to see?
Should we do that? Should we kind of make something?
What?
We did that last time.
Okay. Why is it any different from this one? Because I wanted to see
Yeah, you're right.
Don't overthink it. I'll say this. I think that's interesting. Above you on SportsCenter, because ESPN is at Saints camp today. So.
And referees.
Yes, and referees. Dan Graziano was out there, giving live reports. Mike Greenberg this morning on Get Up! Asking, you know, how serious should we take, the whole, you know, Michael Thomas tweet thing and things of that nature. And you have right now on the screen who should start at quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. Tim Hasselbeck is saying Jameis Winston. What I thought was interesting was Graziano mentioned that if both quarterbacks are even, he believes the Saints would go with Jameis Winston because he can do more with his arm and he's a better passer, been proven on that. So we can hear some of those bites here in a little bit, and we'll get into our lead and top stories and stuff. So here's what Graziano said this morning on NFL Get Up about the quarterback battle.
The Saints want it very clear that it's a competition, right? They do not want Taysom Hill to get the impression that he's not a realistic option for them because they want to give him that chance. They feel like he's earned it. Same thing with Jameis Winston after the year he put in here last year as the backup or the third stringer, as it turned out. So when I put in the requests to talk to people at all these camps I visit, the Saints told me if I request one of those guys that they're also going to bring me the other one. Like, that's their rule. So everything appearance-wise is set up as if it's a true competition, and I don't see any reason to doubt that it is. Look, when Drew Brees got hurt last year, Sean Payton put Taysom Hill in as the starting quarterback. He's clearly not afraid to do that.
Okay. So I thought what was interesting, because I heard him say this morning, Jordan, and I was like, that's interesting. That if you ask for one, the team is going to bring another. So if I ask to interview Taysom Hill, you're going to also have to interview Jameis Winston. And I guess I get that from an extent because for the most part, you know, you get these networks or you get these national reporters, Jordan, what do? They show up once a camp, right? They have an idea of what they think. They talk to people. Then they show up and then they're like, they're perceived with their producers. What's the storyline? And many people think it is like we've thought here, right? I mean, you've agreed with me that, it should be Jameis, based off of experience and things of that nature, that he should have the leg up on it. I also, I guess, understand from the Sean Payton side of things that you don't want to have it be perceived that it's already a done deal when I, as the head coach keeps saying, it's a quarterback competition. It hasn't been won and I haven't named anybody. So I could understand if, say, the NFL Network, ESPN, CBS, whoever, NFL, NBC.
Good Morning Football.
Yeah. It shows up and all they're doing is interviewing Jameis Winston. And what if he isn't wind up being the quarterback, I guess. So I do get it from that perspective, but it's interesting that the Saints as a policy are saying, if you want one, you're getting both. Now they've talked twice in training camp, right? And both times on the same day. So, you know, we've kind of seen it here as well. They've talked twice already in training camp. By the way, I was mistaken. It's tomorrow night. They were looking at it today and stuff. It's tomorrow night. White Sox, Yankees, 6:15, the Field of Dreams game. There, so it's tomorrow night. So anyway, that's kind of interesting to sort of think about it from that perspective that, you know, they're making sure the team sort of is. That's why I keep thinking, Jordan, despite we're going to go over next segment in our lead, some Saints news, how they perform right now. I legitimately think, now Sean Payton said yesterday, that they were going to meet last night, and they're going to meet tonight to decide the quarterback rotation and everything. My guess is tomorrow, right? He'll tell us or what it is because Friday they're traveling, obviously, to Baltimore. I still think Taysom Hill is going to start. He started the first team reps with the first team when training camp started. I think he's going to get this. Based off of this, I think they're going to do everything humanly possible to give him a fair opportunity to try and win it. Come heck or high water. That's Sean. Sean has loyalty. Sean likes him, respects him, believes in him, trusts him. You remember last year? We the first few weeks of the season. You remember that? Remember how that show was or those shows were? Taysom Hill, why play him? I mean, there was never a right time and there was never the right play for Taysom Hill, right? And all Sean Payton kept saying is, I trust him, I believe him, he's our guy, he's our guy, he's our guy, he's our guy. That was just the Swiss Army knife. You know? So I do think I would not be surprised. I wouldn't read into it from that aspect of it. Graziano, though, who has the edge?
I think there's probably, it's fair to acknowledge that Jameis Winston offers more in terms of throwing the ball and the ability to do things downfield if he has ironed out the turnover issues that dogged him throughout the early part of his career. That's the big question. I'm not sure that the Saints are going to be able to answer that, even if they make him the starter, until they've played a few regular season games.
All right. I don't know. I keep thinking, I've talked about this in the offseason, going into training camp. I want to say the week before. If you remember, Jordan, I said, where's the patience level that Sean's going to have? Remember, I talked about it with Fazan, Triplett, Larry. That's going to be a key element to me. What is the patience level in terms of you're going to have to let them do well, fail, call things for them, have them go through adversity, things of that nature, right? I think it's important for the locker room to have one of those guys earn it in earnest. Their eyes see it. They're standing on the sideline. They feel it. They'll know who should be the quarterback, and I think that's how you have to go forward with it. So it's interesting to see him, hear him say, well, you wonder if another starter will be named. Interesting. I don't know if that's a good thing. I saw some people yesterday on social media going, you know, if this close, do they open the season with both quarterbacks? I just think, again, if you're signing a guy this year or you're trying to find a guy, following a Hall of Fame quarterback, I think it's a bit different. Or do you think it's just done its own thing? Like, I'm trying to think of the last time an NFL team had a two quarterback system. Legitimately. And I'm trying to think of, I mean, in college, it normally never sort of works. And I just think, I don't know if that's where you go.
Definitely didn't work at LSU.
You know? I think the games are going to tell you. I legitimately think the games are going to show you something. Now, how do you use it? You know? Sean this week said that it could be a situation where you give one guy a half, or he plays more, not so much in the second game. Kind of maybe led you believe that one quarterback will play, I don't know, Jordan, two quarters or full quarter. And Jameis just gets a quarter or half a quarter or something like that. I don't know. The other thing Graziano hit on this morning was the Michael Thomas situation. Yesterday was something confusing. Would you say it was confusing? Maybe misleading yesterday. Yesterday afternoon, Ian Rappaport was doing live hits and going through around training camp for the NFL Network in the afternoon, Jordan. Afternoon, evening, right? And the headline, I saw a screenshot. The screenshot's Ian on a football field behind him, or below him, Michael Thomas requests or wants to be traded, something like that. I'll pull it up here and see exactly what the wording was. But there is no way to confuse what actually was being put on the screen. And I thought that was pretty interesting, right, from that perspective. So you play the report, but Ian Rappaport never says, Jordan, he never says that he wants to be traded. Here's the picture. Brian's a mile high, sent it to me. Wide receiver Michael Thomas asked to be traded from the Saints. You play the report, he never says that, right? So that was a bit misleading based off of that report, because the Chiron, the font underneath him says, you know, that. I'm like scrolling, I'm texting Brian, I'm texting him like, well, who's the report? I'm like, I'm looking at Nick, I'm looking at Tripp, I'm looking at everybody. I'm like, who's saying that? I'm not saying that it wouldn't have happened, but again, if you hear the report, he says, look, it could be a situation that, but everyone keeps bringing up the most important aspect to this. And that is, of course, very simply, money. It's all about the money. Follow the money. Understand the money. Get to know the money. right? And what I mean by that is it's pretty simple. When it comes to the money, the Saints trading Michael Thomas would be expensive. I don't know how else to really put it, right? From that perspective, it would be pretty expensive. You're going to eat, Bill Barnwell kind of broke this down as well on Twitter, $32.6 million in dead money. Jordan, $8.9 this year, $22.7 next year if I trade him. Now, Pro Football Focus, about an hour ago, tweeted, Michael Thomas for C.J. Anderson. And they photoshopped the opposing jerseys, the Jaguars on him, Saints on C.J. Anderson in the corner. Who says no? I get it. And think there's a lot of Saints fans that probably say do it. But again, do the Saints want to eat a total of $32.6 million in dead money? You know what I mean? That's a lot. That's a lot. So something to think about and something to keep an eye on. We'll give you the updates as to what happened at camp. Looks like Maddie's safe. Sean is talking now. Jordan is cutting that. We'll touch on that when we come back on the Sports Hangover with your lead. Don't go anywhere. Coming up in the bottom of the hour, Shemit Dua's. The Pels take on the Thunder today. Scott Prather, 12:45. Something big happened in Lafayette last night. Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Is approaching, and so are the Red Hot Deals.
Red Hot Deals.
At Craig LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Shop online at CraigLeBlancToyota.com or at the store. Great offers like the sporty 21 Toyota Camry or the Corolla with class-leading gas mileage and complimentary two-year maintenance. Or the stylish and dependable 2021 RAV4 and Highlander. Stop by Craig LeBlanc Toyota and make this a summer to remember with your new Toyota. Only at your number one volume dealer in Houma. Craig LeBlanc Toyota.
Set yourself up for success when planning your next event, whether it's wedding, festival, Mardi Gras, rodeo, or concert. Joseph the Contractors knows that it's important to cover your bases. Joseph the Contractors can supply multi-stall restroom, air-conditioned trailers, anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Planning a luxury event? Check out their new black tie luxury restroom and shower trailers. Visit Joseph at viscom.net with locations in Cutoff, Thibodeau, Fouchon, and Abbeville.
Every pro on your team wants to work with a Husqvarna, and who can blame them? Husqvarna products are powerful, ergonomic, and packed with innovation. Now we're making it easier than ever to put Husqvarna in their hands with our cost-saving fleet program, where commercial customers can save up to 20% on new equipment purchases. If you want more Husqvarna in their hands and more money in your pocket, get all your new equipment through the Husqvarna fleet program. Visit Southern Trailer Works in Schriever between Home and Thibodeau or online at SouthernTrailerWorks.com.
If you want your car or truck to get the best treatment there is, there's only one place to go on the Bayou, and that's Raceland Auto Center. Your vehicle is one of your most trusted and valued assets. When it starts to give you trouble, you want to take it to a place you can trust. At Raceland Auto Center, there are no appointments necessary, honest, reliable mechanics, and faster service. They'll also give you the small-town prices that the dealerships can't. Raceland Auto Center, 3913 Highway 308, where repeat customers become family.
Come on, citizen!
What are you waiting for?
Pick up the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back to the Sports Hangover. Wednesday's DraftKings question of the day. What do you want to see from the Pelicans as they take on the Thunder tonight? You could comment at ESPN Radio NOLA over on Twitter or call in 800-998-1003.
What do you want to see? Is it simple? Just, do you want to see like a win or loss? Do you want to
What was the one word that we used last year?
Consistency.
There you have it.
So you want to see Trey not necessarily hit 7 threes, just a couple open shots. Okay.
Just continue with
Herbert Jones playing some D. Kyra going to the basket.
Continue what you left off on with the Bulls.
Consistency. But you don't want to see a 25-point defeat because no one can shoot anything, right?
I do want to see like an entertaining game. I mean, I hope the Pelicans are blowing them out at the end of the game and we see a couple good highlights, but I just want to see consistency from a lot of these young guys.
I hinted at it going into the break. Something big happened last night with the Cajuns, UL, in the coaches' poll. First time ever they will start the season ranked, where the Tigers will do all of that here coming up in a little bit as well. But first,
time now for The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. Here's what's topping our headlines on the Sports Hangover.
All right there, Jordan Kleber. Another day at Saints Camp practice number 12 is in the books for your New Orleans Saints. Yesterday, two men in offense, Sean Payton said, well, he's seen better, right? He's seen better. This morning at practice, I'm not even going to say the hits keep on coming because it's not anything to really, you know, be happy about.
Oh, I thought you were about to say, like, player doesn't matter.
No, look, again, I've been telling you all this. If you're a Saints fan, and I know, Brian, you're listening, just enjoy what you've seen the last 2-3 years, you know? Recent history will tell you if there's some bubble bumps in a row, they had 3-7-9 seasons, they'll be back. They'll be back. It just may not be this year, that's all. Jordan, another injury. Reportedly. Took place today.
Ty Montgomery was carted off the field.
Yeah. The old thumbs up. We'll have to ask Todd if he actually did thumbs up. Thumbs up is never good. Right, when you do the thumbs up on the cart, I'll see you next year. You know?
Is that a training, or is that just like for the fans? That's just mainly for the fans.
Well, no matter what. I mean, normally when a player thumbs up on a cart, to me and Todd, we've said this for years, that's more than likely 85% we'll see you next year. I mean, I'm not laughing.
Because you are.
No, I'm not. Because pure panic mode set into Saints Twitter. Again, the same Saints Twitter that for the most part crucified me yesterday for trying to convince me they're a double-digit win team. And now Ty Montgomery is gone. Folks, he wasn't going to be like a massive start. I mean, they were happy with what he was doing. Sean Payton likes his continued growth on there, right? But I'm not saying he's going to, I don't think he was going to be a main weapon offensively. It still stinks because it's starting to hit your depth. That is for sure, right? Jordan, you get it? Okay. Well, another injury, you know, so there we go. I'm just going to have that at the ready. That, again, they're going to have to earn it to get back to the who that thing. Especially since basically every single report today was the quarterback struggled again today. Jordan.
Surprise, surprise.
But you can say the defense wins the day, Jordan. It's all how you look at it. It's all how you look at it. Because they won't get a first down. But you know what? The defense will stop other teams from scoring. Jordan, that's where we are with your New Orleans Saints. Taysom Hill struggling on 7-on-7. I'm just telling you, if you're struggling on 7-on-7, it's probably not a good thing. Or you have the greatest cornerback, Ken Crawley, ladies and gentlemen, shut down corner. I mean, just was batting this, batting that, picking this and picking that from Taysom Hill.
I think any
Taysom missed high, Taysom missed low, Taysom was underthrowing.
As long as you're on the field or you're not retiring at the cornerback position, I think that it's a good day for
Stop
the Saints.
It. Well, it's got to be one or the other, right? It's got to be, but have no fear. Have no fear, okay? I'm not here to just be, as I was called yesterday, negative. You know, heaven forbid I just tell you what I see. And what I see is this. There was one quarterback that at least did one play today of note. Jordan, do you remember what that was?
Jameis Winston.
What did he do?
What, a 40-plus yard pass?
50 plus. 50-yarder for Luke Johnson.
To Deontay
Harris. Down the scene to Deontay. I'll see you in week 3, Harris. Huh? How about that, baby? Let me tell you something. Week 3, the Saints will be ready. Look, I'm not kidding you. I've been saying I think he legitimately is the best receiving core right now. Callaway, I got to see it. But, I mean, like, Harris can catch and run, and he can score at any time. And he really looks that good. Okay, I'm very happy and comfortable with Deontay Harris. The only problem is he may be out for 2 weeks. We don't know, which is why I said this yesterday. At least Brian can agree with me on this, huh? It's ridiculous. I don't know. Like, why aren't you telling me? Why are we waiting? Why is there not a deadline? Or at least I know it's by the third preseason game. But if players are going to be suspended and not play, wouldn't you like to give those teams an opportunity to maybe work in some guys that are going to or not? Or you probably, I guess, assume that it's going to happen. I just don't know. But would you understand, right? I mean, we know Onyemata already, six. Here, I mean, that came out. So can we just get a yes or no? It's a little strange, don't you think? I don't know. Anyway, so some of the reports that you read out there, again, from the people that were at practice, we'll hear from Maddie at 1:15 with what her observations were. Again, it was another day, I guess, if you want to look at it this way. That defense won the day. The problem is the defense has been winning the day, Jordan, since they put on the pads. You can say, yes, there's some injuries to the offense in terms of Traquan Smith. Again, not practicing, but he was running off to the side per John Hendricks today. But at the same time, again, you kind of want to start to see some of these players on the offenses sort of move. Again, the two-minute drill. This is something, again, I've been saying this. You've been spoiled. You've been spoiled, right? Drew excelled at that. You've been spoiled. So it's going to take some growing. And that's what I keep saying. I think the games will show you. You can only simulate so much. The games are going to show you. And I think when you actually see these guys, whether it's Hill, whether it's Winston, there's Maddie out there. Ian Book. Do we just start Ian Book?
No, because I don't want a tattoo.
Was that the deal? He had a start?
He has to start.
One game?
One full game.
What if he just comes in?
No, he has to start one.
He has to start a game and then you will get a tattoo.
He has to start and finish the game.
Okay. Just letting you know. So again, just trying to get an idea of where this team is going to be. It's gonna take time. And I know everyone wants answers and everybody wants to see certain things. It's going to take some bits here to kind of see it. Noah Spence per John Hendricks. Two solid reps resulting in the sack of Taysom Hill. One thing that you do see in a lot of reports as of late, Jordan, I don't know if you see this as well. You do see a lot of reporters that are at practice saying they feel a little more confidence in the Saints' defensive line than perhaps they did when they showed up at practice. Do you agree with me on that? It kind of seems that you see that a little bit more. Jalen Dalton is a player that keeps popping up on people's tweets and reports and observations the day they post on the website. He had a nice sack on Taysom Hill. Now, look, that's two sacks. Is Hill not getting rid of the football? Is Hill not? I'm not there. I can't tell you on that, but I see some comments on, well, why is it just Hill that keeps getting sacked? Now, again, is he taking off running? Is he trying to wait in the pocket to pass? Again, I keep referring, you gotta wait and see in the games. This could be a situation where he's trying to prove, I'm gonna make throws out the pocket. I know I really can't get hit. If it's a sack, it's a sack. In a game, would he have taken off and ran on those two plays that he got sacked by Dalton or Spence, right? I don't know. But in that 7-on-7 series, two overthrows, one underthrow, which was picked by Crawley, went 2 for 5, Taysom Hill. Both completions were short gains. It's something that I actually tasked Maddie today when she went to practice, and I'm interested to see what she has to tell me at 1:15. I texted her this morning. I said, you know, just check mark. Next to the names Winston and Hill, 10 yards or more, 20 yards or more. Like, just how many times? I'm curious if to start, Sean, you know, kind of uses the offense that we sort of seen the last year or so based on Drew, right? I would say, dare say, a conservative passing game, right? Whether it's check down, slants, 10, 15 yards in, high percentage, things of that nature, before each quarterback starts to, I guess would say, get more comfortable with the offense or not. So I keep saying these three preseason games are probably, to me, the most anticipated preseason games I've seen in a long, long time, or I'm waiting for. I think you just start getting hints and stuff. And again, I still feel this team, regardless of the daily injuries, the daily updates, or who we're signing, or who we're trading, I think you're going to wait for a couple of weeks in the regular season to kind of get to know what kind of team this is going to be. That's just how I feel. But we'll see, obviously, come Saturday. Quick break. We come back. Schmidt Dua will help us get ready for this evening's game between the Pelicans and Thunder. What were his thoughts in the win against the Bulls? We'll ask him that next on ESPN New Orleans.
Terrebonne General Health System Community Sports Institute is recognized for outstanding service and contributions to Terrebonne Parish. We provide a certified athletic trainer to every Terrebonne Parish High School. We also provide concussion baseline testing to over 1,400 student athletes annually, along with CPR and AED certification to over 500 area coaches at both the schools and the recreation departments. We are proud to be your trusted resource in keeping our community safe. Visit tghealthsystem.com.
At CDW, we get your employees need their data to go where they go.
That's why we started tattooing company data right on them. Ow! Now they have permanent access.
Ouch. Well, at CDW, we can transform your data center painlessly, on-prem and in the cloud, with a Dell technology solution so your data isn't just available, it's powerful.
Phew. I was about to get these Q4 financials tattooed on my neck.
Close call. For technology that moves you forward, trust Dell Technologies and IT orchestration by CDW. People who get it. Learn more at cdw.com/DellTech.
I miss my baby. Someone stole my baby. By the way, my baby is my landscaping truck that was literally stolen from a job site. Baby, won't you please come home?
Owning a small business isn't always as lovely as it sounds, but with 30-plus customizable coverage options, Progressive Commercial keeps your business humming along. Get a quote in as little as 6 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com.
I love my sweetheart. By the way, that's my riding lawnmower.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Coverage and discounts not available for all vehicles or states. Policy terms and conditions apply.
As a recipient of a prize from Coastal Broadcasting of La Rose Incorporated, also known as KLRZ 100.3 FM ESPN New Orleans, you are responsible for applicable taxes and our licensing fees. We're not responsible if a prize is damaged or breaks, an event is canceled, or business closes. When mailing prizes, our station is not responsible for prizes that are damaged or lost. One winner per household for 30 days. Winner must have a picture ID and must pick up the prize within 30 days. You can pick up most prizes at our studio office, 11603 Highway 308, La Rose. Thank you for listening.
They say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
And here's Luzada. Lobs it up and a slick finish by Murphy.
I don't know about you, but I paid attention watching that game here that we were doing the show back on Monday. I heard Trey Murphy's name by that PA announcer over and over again. I know it's summer league, but it still excited me. Schmidt Dua at Fear the Browns, the way to follow him over on Twitter. Lead writer at Bourbon Street Shots. Schmidt, good afternoon to you, sir. How are you?
Good afternoon to you. I'm doing well. How are you guys?
I'm doing fantastic. I might have referenced a GIF or a meme. I guess it was a GIF that you posted of a what looked like three-headed dragon during the game on Monday based off of some players in their defensive play. Look, I know it's summer league, I get it, but coming off of a season like last year, you know, lack of defense, you know, lack of three-point shooting, you know, lack of what looked like guys wanting to be on a court, I'll take it. Schmidt, what did you think of Monday's performance?
Oh, I think it was absolutely phenomenal. And you hit the nail on the head when you're talking about these guys really want to go after it, and it seems like they're priding themselves on that end. And I don't know if it's starting from Coach Willie Green or mm-hmm. if it's just who these players are, but it's definitely a refreshing sight to see that this whole team from top to bottom was devoted on that end. And, you know, I think they struggled to score a little bit in the first half, and then the lid really came off the basket as Trey Murphy scored 20 points in the second half, and they ran away with the win.
You know, and again, I get it. It's different competition level coming up in a couple of months and things of that nature, but when you have a player that's a first-round pick or, you know, however it is you want to look at it with Trey, you want to see some things that your eyes, you think, will be able to tell you that translates. I saw a nice passing. I didn't see that he didn't look like he was on skates, Schmidt, which kind of means, kind of knew where he was sort of going, was controlled, looked calm, catching and shooting and making buckets. I don't care if that's my backyard, your driveway, Schmidt, or a court in Vegas. If you can shoot, you can shoot. It's going to translate. So that was my takeaway from Trey. He just looked like he belonged, if not, I dare say, one of the better players on the court. What did you think of him?
I agree, and I think the key here is the way he got his shots. He did not go out of the way to jack things up. He didn't have to do anything special. He played his role to the T. You know, he defended well, and then he sprinted to get open. And the guards found him. Najee Marshall found him. Kyra Lewis found him. And those are the exact kind of looks that he's going to get at the next level as well. Like, it's really difficult to see this not translating. I'm sure that, you know, he's probably going to have nights where he doesn't hit as many shots as he did this last time. And that might be, you know, in tonight's game. But the fact is, those shots are going to be there, and I trust him that he's going to knock them down at a high clip over the course of a season. And the best part is, defense travels. No matter where you are, if you get after it, if you're going to be competitive on that end, like Trey Murphy was, you're going to have a spot in the NBA for a long time.
I was just going there next. Schmidt Dua at Fear the Brown on Twitter. It's literally what I was going to say. Some nights you're going to be able to score or not. The defense is always going to be there. And I think one of the things that really stood out to me, because, look, physical attributes and success on the court physically, hey, that's measurable. You can see that. I also think something that is measurable, even though maybe it's not visible to an extent, is leadership and just kind of being a good teammate. So I liked hearing after the game him trying to prove to Willie Green that he belongs on the court, him proving to Willie Green to trust him. He wants to show Willie Green. I like that already. Don't you? That there's a player already kind of feeling that way, especially being so young?
Yeah, I agree, and I don't think it's just him. I think, you know, like, a lot of these guys are getting this opportunity. I mean, you look at how good of a game Najee Marshall had. You look at Kyra Lewis, who controlled the whole tempo from start to finish. Yep. You know, he didn't have a single turnover, which is really impressive because Summer League is generally a mess. You know, these guys have turnovers and fouls, and Kyra was under control despite his speed. And you're right, look, if Willie Green has that kind of effect on these guys, I'm optimistic about the effect that he's going to have on the main roster guys as well, and as well as the stars and Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram, because if he can get them to buy in on the defensive end, well, this is going to be a very difficult team to deal with.
Schmidt, I do want to apologize again for scaring you this morning and giving you false hope that the Pelicans, you know, made a trade for Buddy Hield. But sticking to that kind of topic, how realistic is it for the Pelicans to acquire Buddy Hield? I know yesterday, I don't know if we look too much into it, Josh Hart unfollows the Pelicans over on Twitter and takes a few things out of his bio.
It's all about social media.
What is the likelihood of the Pelicans making a trade for a Buddy Hield?
Yeah, so when you texted me this morning, I only saw the notification on my lock screen, and it was just like, let's go, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what happened? And I freaked out. I was like, I totally had forgotten the context of our conversation. But yeah, so with regards to Buddy Hield specifically, a couple people have reported the Pelicans' interest and the Kings' interest in making this deal happen. And I think Jake Fisher of Bleacher Report, who's been absolutely incredible as a reporter during this offseason, reported most recently that the Pelicans did have discussions about expanding the Memphis deal to include Buddy Hield and send Josh Hart to the Kings. And while that deal in that specific framework cannot be completed anymore because the Memphis deal is now official, that doesn't mean they can't trade for Buddy Hield anyway. And it'll take a couple weeks for it to be, like, legally allowed because Tomas Satoransky from the Chicago Bulls can't be traded in another trade yet, so it'll take a little while, but it can easily happen before training camp starts. It can easily happen before the season starts going. And look, I think Buddy makes a ton of sense for the Pelicans. He's one of the best five or six shooters in the league right now. You look at his name in the all-time three-point makes list in single season, it's like Steph Curry, Steph Curry, Steph Curry, Steph Curry, James Harden, Buddy Hield. And there's like three seasons of Buddy Hield right there. And so when you're in that kind of company, and he's beating out Ray Allen's record, I mean, that's just an incredible amount of shooting. You know, I don't think you need to overthink the fit there. And if the Pelicans are able to turn Josh Hart into him, who I think, you know, at this point, with some of these guys that we're seeing in Summer League, Trey Murphy and Najee Marshall and Herb Jones and Didi Lozada, I think you have less of a need for Josh Hart's specific skill set than you do for Buddy's all outlier level shooting.
Yeah, no doubt. You mentioned Herb Jones here as well. I saw a couple of your tweets too, and I agree with you on this. He may not be the guy that, especially outside his area, Brian Windhorst or others might be commenting or First Take may do, but I think he's going to be able to do some things on a nightly basis that help you win games. And his stats may read 6 points, a couple of free throws, but a block of steal, a couple assists. What was it you saw with him in his first action that makes you think, hey, this could be a guy that you can throw in, you don't have to worry about his minutes hurting you?
Yeah, well, immediately when he got on the floor, he had a nice drive to the basket and a kick to the corner for an assist, for a three. Just immediately found an open corner shooter. And then he had a couple spectacular plays on defense. He was digging down for some turnovers. He had a really impressive block on the fourth overall pick from last year, Patrick Williams, who's playing for the Bulls. He blocked him on the three-point line, which is really difficult to do in the first place. Requires a tremendous amount of skill and athleticism. He secured the ball from going out of bounds, pushed it in transition, and had a really nice bounce pass for an assist, all in one play. And you're like, oh my gosh, this guy can do everything on the court. You know, he can pass, he can defend, and they're not gonna. I don't think they're gonna rely on him for much scoring. And so we'll see how his game develops on the offensive end. But as a passer, as a defender, as a rebounder, as just an all around event generator, you know, it's kind of like how Draymond Green functions for the Warriors. He does every little thing that they need, all the dirty work. And I think it's high praise right now to compare him to Draymond, but that's kind of like the impact that you're gonna look for.
Well, you heard his head coach over at Alabama say several people got drafted before him, and he thinks he's better. So I like hearing that already about that character and that type of one, two, and desire. Speaking with Shamit Duat, Fear the Brown, lead writer for Bourbon Street Shots. The other thing I want to kind of focus on, too, is, look, this is reality. Three of your starting five are going to be different going into next year. One will be likely point guard that will be starting there. What were your thoughts of Devontae Graham? I love how he said, baby, the day that he got traded, trying to learn the lingo. That was great already. Kind of saw some personality. But he was made available yesterday because he's in Vegas. He wants to work out. He's there. B.I. is there. I'll ask you somebody that isn't there here in a quick second. But your thoughts on Devontae Graham, man, just hearing him for the first time.
That's an acquisition that's really, really grown on me over the last few weeks. You know, I think when the trade was initially announced, I was taken aback by the fact that the Pelicans gave out a first round pick to get him. But when I set that aside, and that first round pick, by the way, is protected so that if the Pelicans miss the playoffs next year, they don't give it up and it just turns into some second round pick. So really, if you're of the belief that Devontae Graham is not a good player and is not going to make the Pelicans better, then you shouldn't be worrying about that pick being given up anyway, because the Pelicans are going to keep it. But, you know, if the Pelicans do make the playoffs, if he is good, you know, then it's not a great pick anyway. So setting that aside, he's one of the, again, like Buddy Hield, he's been one of the league's most prolific shooters over the last 2 years. And when you have that level of shooting, and it's not just standstill shooting, right? So Lonzo made a lot of threes last year, but it was a lot of standstill stuff. This guy sprints around screens, he creates his own shot, and then he pulls from like 30, 40 feet deep, you know, sometimes around the logo, not dissimilar to how like Damian Lillard takes these kind of shots. And mm-hmm. and that kind of shooting gravity really introduces a wrinkle to the Pelicans offense that they have not had in my time covering the Pelicans. They just haven't had a guy who, if you give him the ball and you set him a high ball screen at the top of the key or somewhere around there, that the opposing team has to send two at and can't just go under the screen. Because if you go under the screen, he's going to kill you. And if you send two at, his passing is so good that he's going to be able to hit these rollers, and it creates a lot of easy dunks. So I'm excited to see what that looks like with Zion.
Shamit, Gus was freaking out the other day because apparently everyone was there per Gus Kattengill at Summer League in Vegas, besides Zion Williamson.
PG.
And we saw a Instagram post by Zion shouting out Trey
on
Murphy.
TV, baby.
So can we just calm down, Gus? Can we calm down, Gus? Or do you think are you with Gus in this madness?
Much to do about nothing or something, Schmidt.
So I have a question on this too, because I haven't been able to confirm this. Right, I've been asking a couple people. So when Devontae Graham was on TV and they asked him about, you know, what's going on, have you met any of these people? He seemed to imply that his workout that was going to happen later today was going to include Zion and B.I. At least that was like what I walked away from that with. So I don't know if Zion's in Vegas or not. We may need to start a detective search and get some like online sleuths and have people dig up social media posts, I don't know, some geotags, and figure out what's going on there. I mean, I think it would be really cool for Zion to be there. Ultimately, I have been told that like Zion's supposed to organize team workouts at some point later in the summer. Brandon Ingram hosted the first round in Phoenix They had a few people go out there, and then Zion's supposed to host the second round. So I don't know. I don't know when that's supposed to be and what's going on. But yeah, I mean, I am very curious to see if he's there, because like, why not? You know, like a lot of his vets came
that's
out.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, what else you got to do?
Yeah, you know what? I agree. You know, like why not? So it'd be cool if he's out there. Ultimately, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's not a big deal if he is or if he isn't. But as someone who has a rooting interest in the team, I would like to see him out there for sure.
I have a silly theory. Remember last year when we saw him and we were comparing him to like Batman? You know what was the villain that you saw him? What was his name?
Oh, Bane.
Bane. Yes. Maybe the lack of social media presence, the lack of being visible. Schmidt, do you think he wants that reveal? Like one of those reality shows, he's just going to have that reveal. When he shows up for camp, that's the first time the world sees a chiseled and ready Zion Williamson.
You know, sadly, I think it's a little bit of the opposite. I think he's gotten so much criticism on his body and his right. body shape that he's a little bit shy now and a little bit hesitant to put himself out there and make these public appearances because, you know, it's like he can't go to the grocery store without someone posting a picture of him and calling him fat, you know?
And so
if I had some millions of people saying that and national TV talking about it, I'd be very self-conscious as well. And again, like I can't speak for him. I don't know if that's actually going on for him, but I can easily see that being a reality and being the reason why he isn't so public anymore.
Schmidt, 60 seconds here, sir. It's our question of the day. What do you want to see tonight from the Pelicans taking on the Thunder? Jordan wants to see consistency. I'm with him. I don't know what that means. That just means, hey, you know, show the same sort of effort and stuff that I kind of saw on Monday. What do you want to see tonight?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it has to start on the defensive end. They found most of their offensive success when they started shutting down the Bulls' offense and then getting out in transition and getting those early offensive looks. So, like, Kyra Lewis, excellent in transition. He's able to get... he's able to get to the rim at will. Najee Marshall was creating open shots. And obviously Trey Murphy was hitting three after three after three. So it has to start on the defensive end. Can they start forcing these turnovers? And the one improvement area I'd like to see is in the rebounding. They got out-rebounded by the Bulls. They did end up playing small, right? They don't really have many true bigs on this roster. They have one center, I believe, and all the other guys are 6'9 and shorter. And so that allows them to play faster. It hurts them a little bit on the glass. I'd like to see them have more of a team effort on the glass.
Always great stuff. Schmidt Dua, absolute must follow and read at Fear of the Brown, lead writer, Bourbon Street Shots. Always appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Quick break. We come back. What happened in Lafayette yesterday that was big, big news? Scott Prather, ESPN 1420, joins us next.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply, 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
Home and Tractor has new inventory of 23 to 100 HP John Deere tractors, all packaged with your favorite tools. Go check out the 23 HP John Deere with front loader, 4-foot rotary cutter, 16-foot equipment trailer for only $18,995. Save even more with 0% financing on all new tractors. Ride and drive demos available, free delivery and setup included. That's at Home and Tractor, next to the tunnel. And remember, they don't crawfish when it comes to service. Offer ends October 30th, 2021. Financing subject to approval from John Deere Financial. Some restrictions apply. See Home and Tractor for details.
I was surprised.
I was definitely surprised.
Yep, we had no idea. Totally surprised.
Can you say jaw drop?
Who knew? State Farm, with these great rates?
The surprise everyone's talking about is the surprisingly great rates for home and auto insurance from State Farm, especially when you combine them.
When you want the real deal, call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today.
985-632-0988.
He's back.
He's like the thing that wouldn't shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started frosting Pop-Tarts.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Gus Kattengill, Jordan Kleber with you. Coming up next hour, Matty Hudak will give us the very latest from Saints. She was there and avoided being struck by lightning as weather moved in towards the latter parts of practice. Not a good day for the offense. I guess you can look at it. Scott Prather, ESPN 1420 in Lafayette, as the defense has been playing well. Scott, how are you this afternoon?
I'm good. Speaking of lightning, it seems like the Saints keep metaphorically getting struck by lightning every day. Good Lord.
Scott, help me out here. We're going to get to the big news in Lafayette in a quick sec, but obviously I always come on your show and we talk Saints, Pels, college football here as well, and everything else. I'm being told that I'm nuts. I'm negative. I hate the Saints, whatever. I said, look, this is a team that, and I've used it on your show, is a possible playoff team, something of that nature. And when you see this roster and you sort of see some of the injuries and things of that nature, I go, you know, I could see a 6-7 win team. Like, I'm probably leaning right now to 7-10 or, you know, something of that nature. What are some of the reads from your fans over there, from Saints fans in Lafayette? Because everyone here is convinced that this is a double-digit win team, even though I keep telling them it's not the same roster.
Boy, it sounds like we're, like, hosting the same show, Gus, because I kid you not, I'm being accused of being negative. I'm being accused of being over the top when I'm like, guys, objectively speaking here, you know, if the Saints hadn't had their recent run of success and you just looked at the roster and all of the off-season issues and rough start to training camp, nobody would say, oh, this, I mean, most people would say like 4-13, and I'm not going that far because I just think, you know, the continuity of the staff and, you know, some of the players in the offensive line and Alvin Kamara, I do think that's enough to get them, you know, somewhere kind of in the middle, but I am not anticipating a winning season, not with the roster turnover, not with the off-season, not with the injuries. You know, they don't have a lot of, like, middle class in terms of, like, look at last year's team. On paper, you could argue they're the most talented team in the league, and they had a ton of depth. And right now, they don't. You just look at the middle of that roster, and it's like, yeesh. And then you look at some positions, and you look at the top of the depth chart, and it's like, yeesh. You know, and if the O-line can play 17 weeks of healthy football and not miss any time, knock on wood, maybe they surpass my expectations because the O-line's great. But, you know, there's a number of guys on that O-line that have dealt with injuries on and off their whole career. So I'm not anticipating that either. I mean, you're going to be hard-pressed to talk me into this team being a double-digit win team. I hope I'm wrong, but I would not dare bet on it. And yet, as I say that, the fan in me went out and, you know, placed a bet at a sports book.
Oh, come on. No.
The Super Bowl, even though that's
Well, that's just you trying to pay for your I don't know, you're up to like as many kids as Drew Brees now and have, you know, help a little college. For sure. Scott Prather at Scott_1420 on Twitter from Lafayette. Quick take. Give me about 60 to 90 seconds. I'm excited. I'm ready to order, to add to my Kyra Lewis jersey. I'm ready to order TM3, Trey Murphy. I like Herbert Jones. I like what I saw from Kyra Monday. I know it was summer league, but I can't wait to 6 o'clock tonight to watch the Pels, the Baby Birds, back at it against the Thunder tonight.
Well, you know, summer league and preseason is supposed to be boring, and yet it seems like the only time the Pels consistently win and play exciting basketball. So, yes, it is just summer league, but whenever they do it and it's fun, don't get on a Pels fan. We're used to, you know, just extreme highs and lows during the regular season. So when we can overreact to, you know, winning in you know, 2 weeks of summer league ball in Vegas and a preseason where they seem to never lose, let us do it. Because Lord knows when the regular season starts, I've just been programmed to just wait for, you know, some bad shoe to drop.
I think this year's going to be different, Scott. I really honestly do. Let's get to the big news that came out yesterday. Sir, the coaches poll came out. The top 25 coaches poll, first one, preseason, obviously, of the year. There it is. Number 23, Louisiana, as in the Raging Cajuns. Scott, I text you this morning. Have they ever opened up in the top 25? Billy Napier's team is opening up the season, at least in one poll, a nationally ranked team.
No, they haven't. And it's,
you know, the thing is, I think what it says about the job Napier's done is that it's not unexpected. I mean, I think it might have been, it probably would have been more surprising if they weren't preseason ranked in the top 25. And the polls have them there, yet how are the sports book books looking at them? You know, they play Texas week one on the road. Texas right. is ranked higher than them, but four spots, right? 19. Some books have it at 9.5. Some still have Texas as a double-digit favorite. Mm. You know, is that because, yeah, they're ranked, but they're still just a Sun Belt team and all this? I don't know. I think the sports books are still waiting to see if they're serious. Tell you what, a win in week one would push them even higher in the polls. And then it's hard after that to try to improve. So you want to stay in the top 25. You got to win week one. But no, I wasn't surprised by the news at all. And you know, they've built this thing the right way, and Napier's done a tremendous job.
Scott, is one of the reasons that they feel that way because they're returning a pretty talented team? I know the quarterback, sir, was over at the Peyton Manning Academy, passing academy.
Yeah, when you return like 19 starters and you've got a guy, a quarterback that's played as much as he has, and you know, and he's started games the last 5 years. Now, you know, a couple years ago he was splitting time, but
sure,
that's a lot of experience. And they have, on top of that, 140 combined starts among offensive linemen that are currently on the roster. So you think of protection for him. You think of the Cajuns and how they've been in terms of nationally ranked in the rushing attack the last couple of years, and it's just a recipe for success. I mean, they're a deep roster because of recruiting, and having the, quote, super seniors helps, too, when you got nine guys that come back that got that extra year of eligibility because right. of COVID, and one of them being the quarterback. But, you know, they're the deepest team in the Sun Belt Conference. And, you know, it's, again, it's hard to think of them that way as nationally ranked and, you know, this great team and this great program with a coach that, you know, went to Auburn in South Carolina and told the powers that be there, you know, I'm going to take my name out of this search right now.
Right.
That's what's happening right now in Louisiana. So it's pretty outstanding stuff right now.
Well, Elijah Mitchell's gone, right? So that's you got to replace that a little bit, 878 yards. But, again, with Levi Lewis, the QB, 19-7. Can he improve, do you think, from the touchdown-interception ratio? And who's the big guy in the backfield, you think, for them this year?
In the backfield is Chris Smith. He is an All-American last year as a returner, but has, I mean, he runs violently. He's got elite speed. He's a great player. I think they're good at running back. But Lewis, I think it's going to help a little bit. You know, last year they had so much inexperience at receiver. And this year they've got an overload of experience at receiver. One, they had a couple of transfers, guys from TCU, A&M, and then you've got guys that played a lot last year as true freshmen that got a lot of reps, getting better as the year went on. Peter LeBlanc's got plenty of reps. They've got a number of guys that could start, and they're not going to have enough to you know, there're gonna be some guys that can't even get on the travel team because, well, you could start, but you're not as good as this guy at special teams. We can only take seven receivers. So I think my point is all the experience they have at that position now compared to last year, I think it's going to help Levi Lewis's passing numbers in terms of the touchdown to interception ratio because there's just a lot more reps and continuity there.
Scott, as always, man, I appreciate the time. Well, we will going to be chatting, obviously, throughout the year here as the Cajuns, again, will start the season nationally ranked. We'll be talking about I kind of want to just get a sense and feel on Wednesdays, perhaps. I'm doing it with Sean Fox from up north to get a sense and feel what people feel about the Pels and Saints throughout the season. So maybe we'll do that as well, sir. I come on once a week. Would you come on once a week with us?
Can't wait, man. You know it.
All right. Sounds good. Scott, thank you so much for your time today.
You got it, brother.
Scott Prather, ESPN 1420 over in Lafayette at Scott_1420, just like that. Hour one's in the book. So we have Sean. We have Coach Peyton coming up.
Yes.
All right.
Well cut.
There it is. Ready.